Okay, our last speaker this morning is Mark Wilson, and he will talk on new sources and new implications, fossil rabbits in the Precambrian.
Okay, the first time I gave this talk, it took 2 hours, but you'd be pleased to know I got it down to an hour and a half there. I'll try and not keep you too long. Okay, first of all, here you see an archaic tag with a slave on it, and although it's very beautiful, I'm sure the question that's going through your mind is it genuine? And I can say categorically yes, it's been TL tested to 3500 BC. Sorry. How's that? Is that okay? Yeah, just to repeat then, this tag has been TL tested and dated to 3500 BC. Now, as we haven't got a lot of time, I'll try and go through it quite quickly. The objective here is just to try and show you that this archive of tablets that I'm working on predates the Uruk material, and to try and draw out some interesting implications from that. So the first thing I want you to notice about the forthcoming tablets is they all have a notch on the right-hand side. And the notch is made in a particular way. If you look at the profile of it, it's got a right-angle profile. It's been made with a square-shaped object cut all the way across the right-hand edge of the tablet. Here you see the side view of it, face on to onto the cut. And you'll notice that you can see the top edge of the cut. You can see the top edge of the cut and the centre part of the cut, but the bottom part blends in with the side of the tablet. Like I say, it's done in this very specific way with a stylus or whatever tool is pressed in and slid down. Here's another tablet with a notch on the side. This is rather interesting front, though. It's got these two foot-shaped signs and a turtle, presumably a turtle. And again, here's the notch on the side, and again you can see the top arched part, the middle line, but not the bottom part. And again, another tablet with a notch. It has some interesting signs on the front as well, these finger-shaped depressions. You don't get them in the proto-cuneiform corpus. You only find them on the bulla from Susa. Now, as we're talking about seals, I just thought I'd show you one of the more interesting seals. This is a beautiful, elaborate sealing on a tablet, and the seal itself would have been about 10 centimetres long. And it's of a very complicated temple facade with many different mosaic patterns covering the surface. So it's rather like the description of the temple at Arata, but it's actually a building scene, although you can't see it, the people around the side, but there are people carrying baskets to build the temple. And again, this is another very elaborate seal, and it'll illuminate how the seals are used in this archive. They're not used in a way of securing property or showing identity. They're actually used in as an adjunct to the writing. But this is a seal that has like a branching river structure going across the tablet here. And just where it branches, you can see a tree with fruit growing on it. And this is the back of the same tablet with the continuation of the seal. The river structure continues. Now, this is another tablet from the same group, but here you have a sign that I believe is an allograph of the sign that's on the seal. You have the same branching structure coming out of a mountain at the base, but instead of having a fruit-bearing tree at the branch, you have the sign, presumably the sign for fruit, the sign Ma. And again, we have another archaic tag with, I guess, the same sign on it. Here the sign looks more like Pesh than Ma. But there's a separate argument that, unfortunately, I don't have time to go into. that establishes that these archaic tags are actually Pisandubba, their tablet basket labels for the tablets that are sealed with the this particular sealing. They've got more holes now, they've been TL tested. Now this is the first of a group which I call the proto-N group, because I make a parallel with the N system at Uruk. And these tablets are of a totally new type, which I call iconomorphic, because the form of the tablet represents a referent. Although this tablet looks like it has a complicated sign drawn on the surface, it isn't articulated in any way on the surface. It's always drawn with respect to the corners, and so the whole tablet represents an object. And I believe this object to be a metal mould. At the right-hand side of this design, you have what is the, I guess, would be the prototype for the metal sign Q3. And I take the legs coming to the top and bottom left-hand corners to be the vent pipes for the metal mould. Now, there's another interesting thing about this range of tablets, these iconomorphic tablets. The most important thing, it's not very apparent on this particular tablet, the most important thing is that the numerical sign, although it looks quite big, it's actually a unit, it's not sexagesimal 60. But the number itself is made with a cylinder seal in such a way that the glyptic of the cylinder seal is left inside the impression. The whole surface of the tablet is sealed as well. And they're invariably single-sided tablets. The backs are unsealed and blank. Another interesting feature, very important feature about these tablets, is that they have notches in the top and bottom corners. So there's four notches on the top, two on the top edge, two on the bottom edge towards the corners. Again, this is a different cylinder seal that's sealing this one. A very elaborate seal with a river system on. Again, the same seal, but here the end of the seal is used to make the next unit up from the units, the next bundle up. And this is quite a good one for seeing the cylinder seal impression inside the actual numbers, and also you can see the notches a bit more clearly. Yes, this is an even better one, in fact. And you can see the Q3 sign stuck on the edge of the mould quite clearly here as well. Now, this is the next category of iconomorphic tablets, and it's clearly a depiction of a vulva, right down to the pudendal groove at the bottom of the tablet, an incised pubic hair drawn along the surface. Again, the numbers are made in an identical way with the cylinder seal, and the cylinder seals are common between both types. Now, these ones, these second type of iconomorphic tablets, they have these same notches done with a right-angled implement impressed into the side, midway down the side of the tablet. It's not an accidental thing. It's not a mark of a tablet mould. It's been put on deliberately by the scribe. Now, the next part is to show how these iconomorphic tablets predate the oldest recovered tablets from Uruk. And I do this by showing how they form an administrative structure that's exactly functionally isomorphic to the N system tablets that are up. But first we'll just have another look at this bar sign, which is so important and keeps me awake at night. But you can see how when you have a camber on a tablet and you impress a right angled edge into it and slide it down, you see the top part of the impression and the mid line, but you don't see the bottom part. And I'll argue that the sign ba is derived from this this administrative notch, and that the sign is actually a pictograph of this administrative marking. This marking is quite common over the ancient Near East. You have tablets from Gordon Tepe, which have it, from Gazir, and from Uruk as well. Now, the first part of the argument is to show how when the notches are formalized onto a single-sided tablet so that they occur on one side, you'll notice it's always on the right side. The Ba sign, when it occurs in a twin-case tablet, is always on the right-hand case as well, when it's in opposition to Gi, but also when it's in opposition to the lines across the corners of the tablet. This is a feature that's not very often seen or noticed. And I believe that those lines are a reflex of the notches we see on the iconomorphic tablets. Now, you would expect there to be some presence of these between the Ba sign at Uruk and the iconomorphic tablets in this archive, and sure enough there are. Down the side of the Red Temple there's a sounding which Surenhagen ascribes to the Uruk V period on stratigraphical grounds. And they're the only tablets at Uruk which have this same notch in the side, and the three tablets on the left here, vertically. They all have this notch on the side made in exactly the same way. As for the second type of iconomorphic tablets with the notches in the corners, I believe that what happens to those is the scribes learn to formalize those as lines on the surface, as these lines going across the corners of the tablets in these very early Uruk IV tablets. And again, to simplify matters, the scribes stopped inscribing all four corners and gradually reduced it until they're only marking one corner, which presumably had the same administrative function as all four. Now, the handout that I gave out yesterday has a detailed description of the N archive and how it works. And one of the very characteristic things about this archive is that its lowest bundling rule is in base 4. There are many different numbering systems in use in the ancient Near East, and each numbering system has a whole range of bundling rules, but there's only one that has the base 4 unit, and that is the N system. Now, the tablets that we've recovered, the iconomorphic tablets, they're in the same base 4, and that alone, I think, would be a strong indication that there might be some relationship between the two. But the other interesting thing about the N system, what gives it its name, is that it has the complex grapheme N inscribed inside the lowest unit. And I believe that this is a reflex from the cylinder ceiling pressure inside the numerical sign that we see. So the general structure is that the front of the tablet has some signs on the N system, and the sign that's common to virtually all the tablets is the sign Ba. Although, funnily enough, there's not on this one. And I make the parallel between the triangles, the pubic triangles, the fronts of the N system, and the pubic triangles. The numbering system works out to be the same, and there's also some resonance between the titles that can be derived from the cylinder seal impressions. Again, they're in base 4. The glyptic is impressed inside the units, and the glyptic bears some signs which later on can be associated with N. And there's a clearer exposition of that in the handout, showing exactly how that works. There's also a range of other procedures you can apply statistically to the groups, and this reinforces the argument as well. Now the reverse side of the end tablet, that's usually very boring. It just has the single line, which, as I say, I believe is a reflex from these notches on the Iconomorphic tablets, and a number which is also in the end system. But the average of the numbers across the whole archive is much higher. And again, in our the Iconomorphic tablets, the average again is higher. We have this coup sign, but most importantly, we have the impression inside the wedges relating to N. Now that's the main argument, but although I'm trying to keep it short, but there are a lot of other details which I've left out, some of which are present in the handout, to do with the statistics and distributions, contexts, exceptions, and virtually every aspect of the two archives has a parallel one to the other, and they greatly illuminate how the two archives function and exactly what's going on. So I feel confident to say, meet the parents, that they are genetically related and that the Iconomorphic tablets are clearly older than the end tablets at Uruk, even though the end tablets are recovered from the Uruk 4 layers and so presumably would be the oldest writing. I don't just intend this to be a sort of measuring contest where, you know, these tablets are older than the Uruk tablets, but there's something interesting that comes out of it when you try and analyse what's going on. First thing is that the notch system in the proto-N tablets, these Iconomorphic tablets, is redundant. And it's also complicated because to assess whether the notches are there, you need to examine all sides of the tablet. When it's formalised onto the single-sided tablets on the right-hand side, this notch, it has a function. As I say, I believe it's the precursors of the sign ba. It never occurs with ba, for instance. And it seems to play the same role as a global qualifier. But it takes on a purpose at a later time, but in this early time, it seems to be redundant, and that's quite a strange thing. It suggests that it's some kind of hangover from a time when it wasn't redundant. So we have two sets of tablets, both single-sided, with accounts that at a later time are joined back-to-back to form a single tablet. One set has notches at the top and bottom, the other set has notches left and right. And what could they possibly be used for? Well, the thing that really springs to mind is when you have these tablets joined together as they are in the end system at Uruk, the notches become lines. And to me that suggests one thing, which is tying. Now, I don't believe it's possible to... I'm sure it's not possible to tie clay, and I'm sure that the tablets of the end system weren't tied together. They've got rounded backs. They're made of pretty friable clay. So I believe that they're a reflex from when writing was on another material. And I believe it's the first really strong evidence that of a type that we never expected to have, that writing originally started on another medium. Now, there's some interesting implications of that, and I believe it is quite a robust conclusion. But obviously, if our first writing isn't actually on clay but on a perishable medium, then we have to reassess the durable remains that come down to us. And what comes down to us is the tokens, the bulla, the numerical tablets. But the bulla themselves are problematical in the sense that it's not an easy thing to see how you could run an economy based on sealed bulla. But if you remember the original publication of Oppenheim, where he found the bulla from Newsy and the tokens inside it, inscribed on the bulla was that it was there was a copy of this record in the main archive. And I believe that originally that copy would have been on a perishable medium, and that the bulla were an adjunct to the writing. Now, another possibility then is that writing started in another place and was imported into Mesopotamia. And the real Mesopotamian revolution was to transform that writing into writing on clay. And that writing could have been re-exported back to its country of origin. And the obvious place that springs to mind is Elam, where we see what looks like a writing system appearing out of thin air with no precursors shortly after what appears to be the invention of writing in Sumer. But it could be that Elamite scribes had originally gone to Mesopotamia and introduced their administrative systems there. It had been adapted to writing on a cheap and easy medium, clay, and that idea had been re-exported back to Elam, where they started experimenting with writing on clay themselves. I mean, an interesting thing about the Proto-Elamite tablets, I'm sure Jackie will correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of them are single-sided tablets, and they're quite thin. They have the appearance of being boards. They don't have rounded surfaces like our familiar Mesopotamian tablets. And of course, the other interesting thing is you have these lines appearing on the corners of the tablets from Susa as well. And then the final image is it looks very much like my possible scheme of tying the tablets together. And it's a common header on Proto-Elamite tablets. And I wonder if this is a picture of the original Proto-Elamite scribes' boards being tied together. Okay, that's it.
Any questions? Okay.
Am I on? Yeah, okay. And let me also point out that the Proto-Elamite tablets have these notches on the sides also, as you're well aware of, I'm sure. But they occur together from the same period as the etch marks. Mm-hmm. So you cannot use that argument to show that one is older than the other.
No, what would be important? In fact, what would be quite damaging to my argument is if you have the notches and the lines appearing on the same tablet.
Well, you have them on very similar tablets from very same period. If you have them on the same...
because my argument is that the lines on the front are a reflex of the notches on
but
the bottom.
But you also used it as a chronological argument.
Yes, but the chronological argument is fine, that the notches on the side... they occur in Uruk with lines on the tablet as well. But the lines are a reflex from the notches at the top and bottom. The notches at the top and bottom turn into lines. The notches at the side turn into the back side. And so there's no chronological conflict.
Okay. What the current understanding I have of the signs you call notches, which are actually on the top edge, is that these are numerical signs perhaps relating to some form of time notation system. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. At least it is clear that it's a numerical system. It's almost always 60, which is inscribed on the top of the top.
But the ones in the Proto-Elamite tablets, they are
Proto-Elamite, that's what I'm speaking
they're
about.
Wedges rather than these notches.
The problem with these signs is that they are never published. When Shale published the Proto-Elamite tablets, he did not include the top edge inscriptions. So on very few of the late copies by say students, you have these in the published volumes. Mm. And otherwise, you have to go to Louvre to look at them. And when you look at them, they look exactly like your signs, exactly like them.
They go all the way across.
They are actually inscribed with a thick stylus held 45 degrees into the clay. There's no doubt about that.
All the way across the tablet?
Sometimes, yes.
I mean, it would be apparent from the front of the tablet, then.
Slightly.
I mean, the ones that I've seen from like Gazir, those sort of places, they are numerical wedges put in at 45 degrees with a rounded stylus. Whereas the things that I'm talking about are notches that go all the way across the width of the tablet and leave a very distinctive 45 degree mark all the way, which is visible from the front of the tablet.
Yeah.
The other thing about the Proto-Elamite case is that on the edge of the tablet, you occasionally you have more than one of those numerical marks. Sometimes you have two and three.
Very, very rarely. Very rare.
So this is why This is why I didn't. This is why I didn't discuss those in my argument. I'm more interested in these lines on the corner. I can't really draw a parallel between the things on the sides of the proto-Elamite tablets and what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is quite different to the numerical type wedges you see on the proto-Elamite tablets.
But I'll look into if there is any occurrences where they both come on the same tablet. I'll let you know if I find that.
Okay.
Thanks.
I have a comment and a question. The comment is that when I looked at your proposed tying scheme, it immediately reminded me of Kharoshthi Prakrit tablets from Nia. And I don't know if you've seen them. But I would strongly suggest you look at them because it's very similar to the whole mechanism that you're describing of writing inside and then tying it up together. And I would even look very carefully at the notching system on these boards. They're on wood from Tarim Basin. And I don't know about the antecedents for these letters, but they're letters usually. But I would recommend that you go look at these. That's the comment. And the question is, I suppose everybody in the room except me knows where there's something about these early archives, but you gave no indication of, I know it's, there seems to be a mystery of where they came from. And you, in your comment, you talk about making it unlikely to be close to some act of invention. They came from somewhere else, perhaps. But can you give us some idea of how, where is this, where are these materials, how you got access to them, how they came to you?
Okay.
I have no idea.
They actually belong to a Persian lady, and they were part of her father's collection, where he acquired them from. I don't know. He had cylinder seals from Mesopotamia. He had cylinder seals from Iran. When I first saw them, I thought they were proto-Elamite tablets. I showed them to a couple of scholars who also thought they were proto-Elamite tablets. And I'm a tablet conservator. When I started cleaning them up, a lot of these strange signs started to come out.
Are these owned by the person somewhere in the Middle East, Dubai or somewhere?
No, they're in London, and they've been in London since 1974.
Huh. Are you all aware of these? Do you all know about them?
Some few of us.
Huh? So Mark's the only one who's gotten to touch them?
Or? Yeah.
Mainly through Bob's website, but they're in London. If anybody wants to come and see, they're open for anybody to come and look at them. Well, I know you've only had the paper for a day, but it is in the paper. There's a mathematical analysis that can be applied to it, to the symbol. Okay, it's something called Benford's law, and it's a law that tells how numbers are formed and how numbers behave. It's a universal law. It's followed by all sorts of accounting data, and the numbers on the tablets follow it very strongly, suggesting that they really are numbers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. About the cylinder impressions, yeah. Again, that's Bentford's law. To establish a bundling rule without an addition is quite difficult, and Peter Damereau told me it was impossible, that there could have been 1,000 tablets next door to these ones, which all had lots of fours and fives and sixes on. But if that assumes that the numbers don't follow a distribution, and they clearly do, they follow the distribution governed by Bentford's law, which is a log distribution. Once you plug the numbers in, it turns out you get an 86% probability that they are in base 4, and that drops to 18% assuming they're in base 5, and it goes to almost zero for any other base. It's mathematically significant. I mean, no, that is significant. You can do a multinomial distribution test on it, and it's statistically significant. You have enough numbers for it to be statistically significant. It's 99% when you have when you're trying to reject a null hypothesis. But I'm not trying to reject a null hypothesis. There can only be a discrete number of possibilities for the bundling rule. It can't be less than 4, it can be greater than 4. 4 gives me a probability of 86%, that's obviously the maximal probability. It drops considerably for any other base. Well, the proto-N system that I'm looking at, I'm pretty sure is to do with rations for female weavers. Because in the N system at Uruk, the numbers on the front and the back add up to a limited number of results. It's quite dramatic. They add up to either 1, to 5, or to 20. There are very few that add up to 20, and those that do are qualified by the sign SAG. There's only one that adds up to 1. The information from my archive suggests that they are to do with weaving. There's a lot of auxiliary texts that are to do with weaving. And the other interesting thing is that the numbers on the front don't scale up. When the numbers between the front and the back add up to 20, the numbers on the front still remain quite small, suggesting that it's piecework and that it's something that is determined by the commodity rather than its value. With a multinomial test, it's an exact test. It's not like a chi-square test or anything like that. And it does tell me the probability. It also works very well for small sample sizes. I've also done a Monte Carlo simulation, and I get the 10,000 examples, and I get pretty much the same results for the cumulative probability. I'm very happy that it's 4.
Comment on the on your parallel to the sign on the protoelamide tablets up there, and that also goes back to the old work of Shale and McNamee, who compared that sign to Dupe, of course.
Yeah.
And I believe there's no sense in that. It is a sign for a household, and the copy on your far right is most likely wrongly copied, but I think it's a tablet that's now in Tehran. But the sign appears with other signs inscribed into it.
But what
sign? But signs inscribed into it that can also be inscribed into other household signs.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have a tablet household, and the content doesn't suggest that, it is unlikely. It most likely is a household that has to do with workers, maybe working on fields.
It was just thrown in as a bit of fun, really. At the
okay.
End. No, they were definitely put on while the clay was wet. Yeah. The interesting thing is about making the bottom line disappear. that's a very distinctive thing. And if you look at all the examples, even from Gazir, which is, you know, I don't know, hundreds of kilometers away, the notch is always made such that the top part is visible, the middle part is visible, but it's scraped down such that the bottom part is invisible. And I think you could only really do that while the clay was pretty fresh.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure about that now.